Hello, I'm Janet Sir, presenter of The Entrepreneur Show on Swindon 105.5, Swindon's community radio station. Welcome to the National Self-Build and Renovation Centre's four-part podcast on employee ownership, recorded in the summer of 2023. Part 3, The Culture. We're here talking about the employment ownership scheme. And really, I'm trying to understand the culture of the business. Harvey, how do you feel it's changed the culture?
Great question, because the culture is what it's all about, really. So back in 2014, when we created this new business and we knew it was going to be employee owned, it was a really exciting time because we had complete say and complete control in how we wanted to run the business, how we wanted it to feel like when we came to work every day. And one thing that was really important to all of us was that we were as transparent and open as possible, both internally with all of our employees and fellow colleagues, but also with our other stakeholders that are crucial to the business. So our exhibitors, who Gareth and Phil look after, visitors coming to the centre, conference delegates. So we had the opportunity to kind of create the culture ourselves, really. So one of the ways that we've done that is that we run twice a year what we call a partner forum. So that is an event for our exhibitors, and it allows us to give them updates on our plans and thoughts for the coming months ahead. But crucially, we also invite feedback from our customers, our exhibitors, in terms of how they're perceiving how things are going at the centre, what they'd like us to do more of, less of, differently. And I think rather than just paying lip service to that, we genuinely take that information and feedback that they give us and feed that back into our business plan. So it's fine to be open and transparent, but it has to be a two-way street. You need to be able to be confident enough to listen to your customers and stakeholders and then make the changes necessary to continue to improve and evolve. Internally, we do a similar thing. So every month we have a breakfast catch-up where we get together over breakfast and we share updates on the different teams and departments within the centre, talk about things that are going well, things that are not going so well, and how we might change those. And that's really, again, to invite and encourage people to give their thoughts and input into the business.
So can you give me an example of how this culture and the transparency of this employment ownership scheme has played out?
From my perspective, working with the 200 plus companies that we've got in the centre, I think the biggest example that I can think of is during COVID, where we had to unfortunately close the centre doors for about 7 months during the 2 years, whilst trying to maintain the retention of the companies and making sure they're still happy, still supported. We were absolutely transparent with what we were doing, what we could do for them, and how we can support them more and what they needed from us.
I think when you get to a situation like this, it's the culture that you've created here plays dividends. Because of your communication and transparency, it must have been quite easy for you to all get round the table and come up with some solutions.
Yeah, no, I think that's right. And because we have been so open with our customers, as Gareth said, we actually not only did we retain the exhibitors that we had, but we actually found new ones during that period, which was quite impressive, I think. And there were times where we actually were getting financial relief, so business rates relief, for example, and we were able to openly write to our exhibitors, tell them that information and say, we can share that relief with you. There were other times where financially it was looking a bit more challenging, and we actually had to say, look, we will need you to pay the full amount, even though we know our doors might be shut for a few months here. And because of the culture that we've tried to implement in the centre, working so closely with our customers, all bar none were positive in terms of reception of that request and did. And that really helped see us through the period. And it was challenging running a visitor centre from our kitchens and bedroom offices. And Katie, you know, we worked really closely together on some new initiatives that we'd never done before COVID, didn't we?
Yeah, absolutely. It was quite a nerve-wracking time, as it was for all businesses, when COVID initially hit. And one of the benefits of being employee-owned during that time is we were able to pivot our offerings really quickly. It was a case of having regular meetings with the team together, and we were deciding, okay, this is the current situation. We can't be open as usual to our visitors. How can we still help them to build better, sustainable homes from our kitchens, essentially? And the answer to that was doing a lot of online events, lots of online shows, surgeries, things like that, all done via video conferencing platforms. But we wouldn't have been able to do it so quickly if we weren't employee-owned, if we were answering to a higher power, as it were. It really was just myself, Harvey, Gareth, you know, the rest of the team all sat round and deciding what the next steps were going to be, and we could turn things around really quickly.
We'd already built that culture, hadn't you, of communication, getting around a table and coming up with ideas. It was second nature to you because it had been established already within the business. So a lot of companies really struggled during COVID, and I would say that your preparation for COVID must have been ideal.
And the business was asking its employees to really step out of their comfort zone at times as well. So Katie led a lot of our online sessions, and we did 245 hours of online content during the three lockdown windows. But Katie isn't a trained presenter, but found ourselves alongside myself on screen, you know, hosting sessions where we had hundreds and hundreds of people kind of live online. So we really were asking the team to, you know, take on many extra hats and put themselves in that position of, you know, experiencing new things. But I think actually it was really exciting and oddly almost, you know, an enjoyable experience in what was a very difficult and challenging time for us all.
I think that one of the key things is that my colleagues are not working 9 to 5. We're not expecting to go in, do the bare minimum for the day, go home and that's it, and not think about work. Everyone was pulling together in the same direction and working out how best to get through this difficult 2 years. And I think EO has a massive impact on that.
Absolutely, yeah.
I think also, just circling back to something that Harvey and Gareth have just mentioned, it was a really excellent way to incorporate our exhibitors during this time, because obviously we couldn't have our visitors coming into the centre as usual and having a look around all the stands. But doing these online sessions meant that we could bring our exhibitors onto the shows and workshops that we were running at home, and they still had a space where they could talk about their offerings and their services to our audience and still get the word out.
I think one of the things we were worried about being a visitor centre historically is that we needed people through our doors, and therefore we weren't really pushing online content before. But actually, I think we filled a void that people weren't, you know, where people weren't able to visit, we were still able to support them, which was obviously very important during those 2 years.
And quite interestingly, we were able to take this new offering and actually continue it after COVID, even when we were able to reopen the visitor centre. Doing online events was something that we'd spoken about previously, but it never really quite made the top of our to-do list. But now we regularly run things online, and it's a really great way to spread our message to people who can't always easily travel down to our visitor centre in Swindon.
So a positive coming out of COVID, really, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah. We actually received an award for business resilience from the Employee Ownership Association.
Wow.
Which was very much on the back of the activity that we'd done during that kind of COVID period. And as you said, it we actually came out a much stronger, resilient, more agile business than we entered that period. So, and we wouldn't have been able to do that without the team being prepared to get involved in different things and show that, you know, desire to not let the business, you know, become in trouble, but actually, you know, as I said, grow it, develop it, improve it.
The National Self-Build and Renovation Centre still had business opportunities out there even during COVID, because wasn't the building trade one of the few businesses that could continue? So there were still people and builders that needed properties worked on.
Yeah, as you say, it was one of the few things that people were able to do, because it was important that we were still building houses in the UK. So it was one of those special circumstances. So we knew we had some of our visitors who were able to go to builders merchants, for example, and buy materials and get on with their projects. And another thing that we did was we said, right, you can't come to the visitor centre, we'll come to you. So we opened up a mini call centre, again, asking colleagues who did very different roles pre-COVID to essentially pick up the phone and phone our database of visitors and say, are you still carrying on with the project? And if so, can we help you? What information do you need? Are there any products that you'd like to know more about? And so we were able to engage with our visitor audience that way. And again, I think people really appreciated that.
I think the one thing that I noticed is that you don't hear, that's not my job at the centre.
Yeah.
Everyone does what's needed to be done.
And that's the culture, isn't it?
That's the culture, exactly, yeah.
Not just sticking to your job that's on your job spec, but what do I have to do in order to make this business successful?
Exactly that, yeah.
Yeah. We mentioned the profit share previously, and I think that's the flip side of it, you know, so it's very much give and take. So the profit share, if we are able to pay that in June, is a fantastic thing, and everyone really, you know, appreciates that. But in order to allow us to do that, people have to put the, you know, give that discretionary effort. That's what we talk about, really, discretionary effort over and above their, you know, a 9-to-5 job role. And it's, I talk about, are you having exciting thoughts in the shower? And what that really means is, are people at home thinking, actually, I've got a great idea for, you know, we could implement this at the centre, or how about trying that? And those ideas, they're not all going to be winners. You know, some of them we're just going to review and say, well, we'll either put that in the ideas bank or it's not going to work for this reason. But some of them are winners and we do implement them. And what a great feeling to be able to come to work, suggest something, and then a few weeks later, seeing it actually in action and seeing the effect of that. We've had online events and live events at the centre that have been recommended or suggested by teammates that turn into live events with people coming to attend those. And that's a really exciting thing.
That's what you call job satisfaction, isn't it? We're all looking for that.
I think so.
Yeah.